Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know, I'm trying to put this in baseball terms, and it's very difficult. You know, if the Pirates released the depth chart, it certainly wouldn't create the hubbub that this did. But I don't know. Is this just something that people react to, or were you genuinely surprised by any aspect of this?
I think it's kind of both. I mean, on one hand, as I tweeted, you look at some of the positions, especially defensively, depth chart really doesn't mean a lot. They're going to be rotating so much. They've got probably almost 20 guys who are going to see action defensively. But on the offensive side of the ball, which is what everybody's talking about, I mean, you can't say it means nothing because you do have to – put these things together. And I know when I covered Pitt, Pat Narduzzi was loath to reveal depth charts as well, and always kind of hint, hint, wink, wink, like the SID basically put this out there for us. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But, I mean, we saw Kenny Pickett work ahead of Mason Rudolph in the last two preseason games. Mike Tomlin said he wanted to get him some action, and yet now Rudolph is still the number two on the depth chart. So, maybe Tomlin will say it doesn't mean anything, but I think when you put it out there and you release it to the public, it has to mean something.
I would think so. And I mean, it's reality, right? The other thing I think about too with this, Brian, is like right now, isn't Mason Rudolph more equipped to give them at least in game? If something would happen to Mitch Trubisky, do you agree that he is more capable of taking over at this point? Like maybe not in week seven, maybe not even in week three. I just, to me, that's where my head goes, that I can more easily see Mason Rudolph coming out on the field if God forbid, there's an injury.
I don't know that I do agree with that. I think he's still kind of the same Mason Rudolph that we've seen in his time in Pittsburgh. I mean, there's been some good and I think a lot of bad when he's been the starter, and he's been better this preseason. Don't get me wrong. Maybe this is simply a result of giving him his props, giving him his due for how well he played in camp in the preseason games, that he's going to remain in this spot. But I think from what we saw in stadium, I don't know, man, maybe Kenny Pickett is just a gamer. Maybe it's just the mobility that I'm kind of, giving him the upper hand with. And I think I'd still feel better about winning an NFL football game with Pickett than Rudolph, which is why if I were the great Mike Tomlin making the depth chart, I'd probably go Pickett second, but that's not what they're doing, I guess. And I would suggest that maybe they agree more with you, Jason, that Mason Rudolph is a guy who gives them a better chance to get out of there with a win right now if he had to go out there in the third quarter or something at Paul Brown Stadium or whatever the heck they're calling it now in Cincinnati and try to lead this Steelers offense to I want to say a not loss, because I feel like when you put Mason Rudolph above Kenny Pickett, you're trying not to lose more than you're trying to win.
Yeah, and I understand it. Nobody makes, nobody died and made me right. Nobody died and made them right. I just, that's where my logical side goes. But then the other side takes over, and I do think that if there was some sort of injury and there was time to prepare, like I don't think that Mason Rudolph would be the guy who takes over. I think we could probably agree that if there was time to prepare, Kenny Pickett would be that guy, right? I mean,
you don't get a ton of time to prepare throughout the course of the NFL regular season. I mean,
no, but I mean, if you get a couple
days. A few days of practice, yeah, would be more than a quarter or a halftime or something. I see where you're coming from there, but I just think that, in terms of the quarterback depth chart right now, It does seem to suggest that they are taking things pretty slowly with Kenny Pickett. And, you know, you can't crawl inside Mike Tomlin's head and really get at what he's thinking exactly. Maybe he doesn't think Pickett is ready for prime time just yet. It's far from a referendum on the draft pick or his future in the NFL. But, I mean, all of these little breadcrumbs that we follow and chronicle doing this job, you know, eventually they lead somewhere, right? So you just, what can you do but follow it step by step and kind of report and analyze what you're seeing and what they're doing. So at least right now, it doesn't seem like Kenny Pickett is getting the vote of confidence to be the backup on day one, week one of his rookie season. Maybe that means nothing. Maybe it means something. We don't know right now on September 5th, 2022, but I am a little surprised that that's how it's playing out, September 5th, 2022.
Do you think there's any chance at all of him giving an explanation, like a satisfactory explanation tomorrow when he talks about like his thought process or how he sees this evolving? I feel like that's about a 0.01%.
Yeah, I think there's a chance just because he's sometimes a little bit more expansive in these regular season Tuesday press conferences. I mean, up until now, it's mostly been, you know, on the field after practice or something a little bit more makeshift out there at St. Vincent College when he was previewing the first couple preseason games. So maybe he'll open up a little bit. Maybe he will play it very matter of fact and straightforward. And I'm Mike Tomlin and I'm immune to the criticism and say something like this reflects our belief and who we think are the best quarterbacks to give us a chance to win a game right now. So yeah, it's hard to say bottom line, but I will be curious. And of course we'll all be tuned in for Mike T's first kind of breakdown of a regular. And that's the funny thing always, when you listen to these pressers, he's going to break down the Bengals for like 12 minutes. And then it's going to be nonstop questions about the Steelers depth chart. And of course, specifically the quarterback.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, he's going to make the Bengals sound like the 85 Bears or the 2001 Ravens or something like
that.
Yeah,
we'll get like a dissertation on their left guard or something, and then it's going to be like, oh, okay, Mike, can we get back to Trubisky, Rudolph, Pickett? Let's go.
Right, right. All right, so before we called you, I was going on about the offensive line, and you know, my hope is that they're better than they've been in the preseason. My hope, along with everybody else who has watched this team's, you know, hope, is that reasonable? Like, can we expect them to perform markedly better than we've seen in the preseason so far?
It's reasonable, but
is it possible?
It's a little bit of blind optimism.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of blind optimism, I think, to hang on to that possibility, just because we know the group was pretty rough last year and is running it back with a few of those guys. We know the group has looked rough in preseason and, you know, running it back with all of those guys because they didn't make anything resembling a significant move. A lot of people were hoping to see that on Tuesday when rosters shuffled about all around the league. And instead they went out and got a veteran Dolphins lineman who was kind of cast aside in Miami and then, you know, cast aside in Minnesota. So I don't think Jesse Davis is riding in here on any sort of white horse to save the day. So it's a leap of faith to think they'll be really good or even improved. But, I mean, what have the Steelers been doing with their O-line other than taking leaps of faith lately? I guess you could you could tip your cap to them for going out and spending some money on Mason Cole and James Daniels. But, you know, they kind of just put their chips on Chukwuma Okorafor to be better as the right tackle. They've drafted guys in the middle rounds and simply hoped that they would develop or that they found diamonds in the rough. And I would say so far, early returns is, you know, they're not good that this unit is going to coalesce and be serviceable. So you can't not be concerned after what you've seen in the preseason, but you can at least hang on to the fact that it's a pretty young group and they've got NFL experience and maybe they will gel with more experience together.
Man, I want them to sign the white horse at this point. Like, if the white horse came out of Wisconsin, I'd be offering him a contract.
He might kick up his legs a little something and stop a bull rusher every once in a while.
All right. So I got two more questions for you, Brian. One of them is fun. One of them is somewhat serious. So there's obviously plenty of, like, doom and gloom or people that don't think the Steelers are going to be that good or they're going to struggle in this, that, and the other. Where do you think the Steelers might be better than a lot of people expect?
It's hard to say because I almost think that there's a difference in opinion between the national and the local media or even fans when it comes to this team. Like, I think locally a lot of people are still very worried about the defense, specifically the run defense, and I'm kind of basing that off the rabid Steelers fans who inhabit my weekly chats on the Post-Gazette website. But I think they're going to be good. I do. I think the run defense is going to bounce back. Granted, you can't get any worse than last, but I think they're going to be better specifically in that department. But I also think the defense as a whole can be elite, like top five, maybe even top three group in the NFL. So I think that's an area where they will be strong and better than some think. And, you know, even if they are, I think that's still baked into a lot of the rosier predictions for the outcome of this season. And still they would need the offense to exceed expectations, frankly, because even if you want to kind of believe in Mitch Trubisky or believe in Kenny Pickett, if he eventually gets a crack at it, it's all relative, right? I mean, among the 32 starting quarterbacks, I don't know how you can have either of those two guys kind of in the top half and maybe even the top 20, which significantly lowers your ceiling, I think. And in the Ben Roethlisberger age, we always felt like there was at least a high ceiling for the Steelers as a Super Bowl contender. And you got to kind of take a step back and realize that the expectations have changed a little bit in that regard.
All right, now that we got the warm-up backed out of the way, you tweeted something the other day about caramel apple candy corn, which I've never seen before. And I also want to review, was this any good? And three, what is going on here? My mom woke up and chose violence, dropped these off at my house today. What is going on? Your mom brings you candy corn?
So she was coming over to pick up the toddler and was just like, okay, here, I saw these at the store. You know, you might like these, which, like, reading between the lines, she wouldn't say this, but basically you're into a lot of weird candy and will try just about anything. So, of course, I gave it a shot, and I'm not, like, a lover of candy corn. I'm not that sick, but I'll try pretty much anything once, especially when it comes to candy, sweets. I don't mess with black licorice. I'm not a serial killer, but the caramel apple candy corn is serviceable. You're obviously not going to be able to down more than, like, six or seven. But it was okay. And I don't know that I'd put it on the same level as regular candy corn. So it's kind of weird, but, it's at least keeping a spot on the shelf. I didn't outright throw it in the trash.
People who are, like, strongly anti candy corn, I don't understand this. I love it. I'm very pro candy corn. I want to try this. You're going to get me out to the store to buy a bag of this to give it a shot. I don't even know where she got it,
but yeah, small doses. I can do some candy corn here and there.
So weird candies, huh? All right, I'm going to have to come up with something for you.
Yeah. If you see anything totally bizarre out there, like I've had the Krispy Kreme jelly beans, those are pretty strange. So I'm into that kind of stuff. But I've had too many Kit Kats and Reese's Cups over my time. Give me the variety, baby.
I love it, man. Brian, keep up the great work. Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette at Brian Batko on Twitter. Does an awesome job along with Ray Fittipaldo and Jerry Dulac. Thanks for joining me, man.
No problem. See you, Jason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.